Testing, take three.
Testing.
Testing.
All right, what's up, guys? This is another episode of the Lap Can't Tell You podcast here with your host, Kevin Lapcom. I'm joined today by two very, very special guests here with Brian Desire. Brian, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
And a special guest on the phone lines from Lincoln Park. Let's say hello to our guest, Will Hopper. How are we doing, Will?
What's up, baby? How you doing?
Very good, very good. These two guys know a lot about sports, bring a lot of good opinions, a lot of laughs, a lot of knowledge here to the podcast today. We got a lot to go through with you guys. We're going to start with some NFL things, go with win totals, a few other conversations. Then we're going to go into NBA, go through the series that are actually currently happening, a few draft possibilities. Get into a little bit of horse racing. The Preakness is actually today. We're recording this on Saturday, so it's occurring about an hour or so. And then we're going to go into a few other random topics. But that being said, we're going to start with the NFL. We're going to go through not every team, but some main teams, some interesting teams in their win totals, because the over-unders for these win total teams came out about a week or two ago. So these are live on all betting websites for those who bet, and people are starting to place their bets on some of these teams. So we'll start with the New England Patriots. 2019 win total expected is 11. Brian, I guess we'll start with you. What do you think about here, over under 11 for the New England Patriots here?
Yeah, I think it's about right at 11. I'd probably lean towards the over. I think it'll be right around 11, 12 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, too. The only thing that I see with the Patriots is, okay, they lose Gronk to retirement, right? And they lose Chris Hogan, I believe, Miami or Buffalo. Yeah, he went somewhere. Miami, yeah. I think. So those are two weapons. But, Will, do you think losing those two weapons for the Patriots is going to be big for that team, and will that affect their win total?
Honestly, all that matters is Tom Brady good and Belichick's there? If they're both there, then they're going to be successful no matter what.
So are you going with the over or the under here for the Patriots?
I say over. I think they'll have 12 or 13 wins.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, you make a great point. I mean, how many times I've said this before in years past where, you know, they've lost a few guys or, you know, something happens, where whether it's the Julian Edelman suspension or even the Tom Brady suspension that happened years ago. They always get through it with their coaching, and again with Tom Brady. So certainly can expect probably around 11 or more for the Patriots. But you could raise the question about how reliable their offense will be. But again, they replaced really well through the draft. They replaced really well through basically anyone that comes in. You never know who could be an impact player. And then they got Sony Michel, and Edelman is still there. And again, as long as Brady and Belichick are there, they're going to be winning football games. Next up, pretty interesting team here, the Kansas City Chiefs, lost in the AFC Championship last year. Their win total right now is at 10.5, just below the Patriots. Brian, what are you thinking here, over under 10.5?
I like the over. I think they get to 12 wins this year. I also think they start out, I mean, they can start out
7-0.
They got at the Jaguars week one, then at the Raiders. They got the Ravens at home, at Detroit.
Yeah.
The Colts at home, the Texans at home, then at the Broncos, and then the Packers go to KC.
Those are pretty much all winnable games. The only thing I'd say, I mean, they might have trouble with the Colts, but I mean, otherwise the Chiefs should be winning games.
So I see them starting out 6 or 7-0.
Yeah, I mean that's extremely possible. The only thing that is kind of concerning is obviously the one thing we know about the Chiefs is that their defense has always been less satisfactory than their offense, especially.
They did just get Tyrann Mathieu, though.
They did get Tyrann Mathieu, but they did lose Justin Houston, D4.
And they're most likely going to lose Tyreek Hill.
With the whole scandal that's going on there. But so, Will, what are you thinking here? Over, under 10.5, when you consider, again, losing Eric Berry, Justin Houston, D4. Although you get Mathieu back, you might lose Tyreek Hill and you lose Kareem Hunt. Do you think that affects the win total here in 2019?
Personally, all that really matters for the Chiefs is that how Mahomes does. If Mahomes is killing it this year, then they're going to be successful. Like, even without, because they still have Travis Kelce. They still have, who was their other running back they had?
They were kind of running with the committee. They did Spencer Ware for a little bit.
And then they
had a few of the rookies. I don't remember I'm blanking right now on who they're, like, RB1 was when Kareem Hunt went out. I don't know why I'm blanking.
I think
but
it was Spencer Ware.
Whoever it is, like, the running backs that have been behind the RB1, RB2, I mean, they usually kind of run with a committee sometimes because, you know, when Jamaal Charles got hurt a while back and when Kareem Hunt wasn't even on the Chiefs, they were very successful with a committee with, whoever stepped in. So I don't think that's too much of an issue.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Chiefs, obviously, it's going to rely a lot on Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you're going to expect him to have another 50-touchdown season because, obviously, you can't expect that, but even then, they do still have the talent, and I believe they acquired, who'd they acquire from the Seahawks via trade just recently, Frank Clark. They acquired Frank Clark via trade, so that kind of makes up for some of the defensive losses. We're going to move on to the Los Angeles Rams. As we know, lost in the Super Bowl pretty terribly. Although it was a low-scoring game, 13-3, they did not show their offensive firepower that they have. So people are kind of doubting them now. Despite having 13 wins last year, their win total right now is at 10.5. So what are we thinking here for the Los Angeles Rams? Over under 10.5 for them looking at their schedule?
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
I know the Bears are in there. I know the Seahawks obviously are in there twice because of the division.
The Saints, at the Cowboys.
There's going to be some tough games in there. The thing that worries me about the Rams, if you're a Rams fan, is obviously, Hopper, we know about Jared Goff, and you know you obviously don't seem to believe he's any type of MVP caliber quarterback.
I think he's a pretty overrated player, not going
to
lie.
And the thing to consider is, you know, it seems like the Patriots kind of figured them out in the Super Bowl, so that could possibly be a trend that you see with the Rams. Is our team starting to figure out that Sean McVay offense? You know, who really knows?
What's really important about the Rams is how Todd Gurley's doing. Like, is he healthy? Is he not?
Yeah, that was like a big question mark at the end of the year.
He's a pretty big part of their offense, and that's like, that's how they got that far, with just Todd Gurley pretty much.
And C.J. Anderson is gone.
He's gone, yeah.
And they did pick up somebody. Who did they pick up? Because I remember a few weeks ago.
What's his name? Eric Weddle.
Did they pick up Eric Weddle?
Yeah.
That's impressive. But they did. They're going to lose Ndamukong Suh. I don't think they're going to get him back. He's probably going to ask for big-time money. He's actually still a free agent, something to keep an eye on. But they actually did pick up another a decent running back, which made people, again, bring up the question, what is Todd Gurley's health like? I mean, me and Ryan talked about this a significant amount of times during the playoff. He clearly wasn't healthy at all. If he was, he'd be running the ball 25 times a game as he usually did. Something he did not do that.
Yeah.
And again, it's a knee injury. That's scary, especially when it seems to be a kind of a lingering issue. It wasn't just like an injury where you recover, like something sprained. Right. It's like something that seems like it could be just a wear and tear issue where if it, you know, it may never be the same. So
I'm gonna take the under on that.
So under 10.5 for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah,
I'd say I'd put the under too. I think they'd go 10-6.
Because Seahawks, they're gonna be competitive both games against the Seahawks. I think they lose to the Bears. It's definitely gonna be a question of a year for the Rams.
Yeah.
Although they have a very talented roster. So now moving on to the other team in the NFC championship last year was the New Orleans Saints. They're also at the same win total of 10.5. But again, they lose players there. They lose Mark Ingram. And Drew Brees is getting older. We know that, but do you think that affects their win total in 2019?
I think it's going to be over because they have one of the best offenses in the entire league. They have Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Drew Brees doesn't look like he's playing like a 4-year-old. He's playing like he's an MVP candidate.
I agree. I don't think Brees will have any problems this year. Of course, unless he gets injured, I think the offense will be fine. I think the Saints will dominate again this year. I kind of like the over 10.5.
Yeah, you're probably looking at, you know, 12 or 11 for them for the Saints. You know, again, they didn't lose that much in the offseason. The only way they could really screw it up is if, again, Drew Brees has a major fall-off. He actually did have a fall-off in, I believe, yards and touchdowns last year, but his completion percentage didn't fall off, and that's why he was regarded as such, you know, like an MVP candidate and everything, and again, of how good the Saints were. And their defense is pretty much staying intact, so they're gonna be very good. Probably over 11 or 12 in 2019. Next team, we're only going to do a few more here. Then we'll get to some other teams who may not
more
necessarily be favorites.
Teams.
Yeah, more significant teams. You know, who may not be favorites but are interesting storylines. But we'll go to the Los Angeles Chargers. This team, I don't know, they always seem to get to the playoffs here recently, but they never, I don't know if they really can get over the hump. Their win total here is at 9.5. Is 2019 the year they get over the hump? What are we thinking, over or under for the Chargers, 9.5?
I like the over there. First half of their schedule is pretty light. A lot of home games in there. They do go at the Bears. They have the Packers at home, the Chiefs at home, and then the Chiefs again on the road. But I like the over there. I don't really think they'll do much in the playoffs. I agree they can't really get over that hump, but you know, I think they get to 10 wins this year.
Yeah, the only thing about the Chargers is, again, they have to get through the Patriots in the playoffs. But again, this number 9.5 doesn't include playoffs. So despite, again, the AFC West gets a little bit better, right? Broncos get better. They get your lock. Vic Fangio, I think, is a very much better option for them.
Flacco,
yeah, but who knows who really will start? Question mark there. But regardless, better team. Oakland, say what you want. They're going to be a better team. They get Antonio Brown. They actually have an okay draft. Who knows how the players will perform. Nonetheless, Chiefs will be the best team in that division. It's a very tough division, but the Chargers will definitely be in second there, but will over under 9.5.
I think over 9.5 because they have a solid offense. They have Melvin Gordon, Mike Williams,
and they lost a different wide receiver, but nonetheless, I think they'll be fine on offense.
I would take the over too. They're a solid team.
Yeah, over 9.5 is a safe bet. And again, you wanted to mention their defense. They're up there questionably for one of the best secondaries in the NFL, and they did, I believe, lose Casey Hayward earlier last season, so they didn't even have one of the top cornerbacks on the field for most of last season. So we're both, all three of us here, going over for the Los Angeles Chargers. Now we're getting to our team, all Bears fans here. The Chicago Bears 2019 win total is 9, which is surprising to me, considering, you know, they had the same amount of wins as the Chargers and the Chiefs, but for some reason, they're still getting doubted. They're still a little bit underrated. So what do you think makes that, first of all, and do you think this is an over-under here 9?
Sleeping on us.
I agree.
It's a much tougher schedule this year. I mean, they open with the Packers. They go to Denver. That's not an easy place to play.
Yeah.
They got the Saints at home, the Chargers at home, at the Eagles in a rematch of last year's disastrous playoff game.
Oh, God.
They go at the Rams, Chiefs and Cowboys at home. But you know, I think Trubisky's really going to have a breakout year this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up better numbers than Mahomes.
Wow. That's a
there's
take.
There's a hot take
that's
for you.
I like that take, though.
That's a bold statement.
I like it.
I'm going to pound the over. I think the Bears go 13-3 this year, and I think it's all going to be behind Trubisky.
I think the Bears, Super Bowl bound, Super Bowl 54 champion right now.
Yes, sir. I 100% agree. And obviously, we know could have been very possible last year for our great friend Cody Parkey. Absolute
best kicker in the league.
Absolute bum. Didn't double doink that field goal.
They do have to figure out their kicking situation.
Yes, that's something to take notice of. We have Elliot Fry, Chris Blewett, and then the new guy, Eddie Pinheiro, who was traded from the Raiders, who's actually a legit guy. He was apparently, I was talking to some Raiders people on Twitter. They were saying he had a pretty good camp. He was going against the other guy that they have, Giorgio Tavecchio.
Yeah, they're pretty high on him.
So they liked him. So I think that's going to be a great option for the Bears. But nonetheless, Brian mentioned that it's going to be reliant on the play of Mitchell Trubisky. And while that is true to an extent, this defense still, I wouldn't necessarily say they carried the team last year, but they certainly would not have been 12-4 without that defense. And I think, quite scarily, the defense got better.
I agree.
With HaHa Clinton-Dix, Adrian Amos, to me, wasn't as big of a factor, I should say. So I think Mitch Trubisky, again, he's going to have a better year. So that's just going to mean even more wins. I can't believe this win total is at 9. I think it should be at least at 10. The offense gets so much better with Riley Ridley and Cordell Patterson.
And
David Montgomery. How could we forget him, too? Obviously, we're Bears fans, too. But I had him last week's podcast said they're the best team in the NFC.
Right.
And I think it's not outrageous to say that, especially with this defense. Don't forget, the Bears made the Super Bowl in 2006 with a man named Rex Grossman.
Yep, very true.
So if you want to talk about how much the defense can affect the team and how, you know, the offense needs to be better. But in the event that it ends up like that, still possible. But again, a lot of that was due to a good running game. So hopefully they get that back this year. So we're going to move on now to the Colts, who actually, for whatever reason, have a greater win total than the Bears, although they made it past the first round of the playoffs for them. They have a win total at 9.5. Colts are looking pretty good. They got Justin Houston back. Or not back. They got him through free agency or through a trade. I don't remember. Pretty good passers from the Chiefs, although he has injury history. Brian, what do you think about the Colts over under?
You know, I'm still not really sold on them as a legit contender. You know, Andrew Luck, if he stays healthy, he's obviously a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be kind of hanging around towards the last few weeks of before the playoffs. I don't know. I wouldn't bet on this personally, but
okay.
If anything, I'd probably take the under. I'm just not really sold on them.
Yeah, I'd take the under too. Like, Colts really don't impress me that much. They did have a good run at the end of the year, but the first half
Very good point. People forget. I think they were 2-6.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're 2-6
that.
Before they went 8 in a row to go 10-6. I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but they obviously weren't the team that they were in the later half of the season than they were the first half of the season. So how that will translate, I'm not sure. I did see Frank Reich at the airport a week ago. And he was looking pretty sad, so maybe there's some news out of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
We don't know. Maybe Andrew Luck has a torn ACL that we'll soon find out about. But when I was at the airport, he was sitting there, and I don't know why he was at the airport, but he was not looking happy. So expect some big news out of Indianapolis. Moving on, we're just going to do a few more. We're not going to get to the Steelers, screw them. We'll do Eagles, Browns, Packers, then I think we'll be good. Eagles. Screw them. 9.5 win total. They should not have won that football game against the Bears. I really am not that high on them. I'm going under for the Eagles because I don't think Carson Wentz, first of all, I talked about this last week too, back injury, not a favorable injury for any player. That's how Tony Romo's career ended. I don't think he has the capability to win in the playoffs. They lose. They still have a terrible secondary. Their cornerbacks are terrible. Their linebackers are terrible. They took an offensive lineman in the draft, so they don't get better at those areas. And their offense is really what they're going to rely on. But what do you think about the Eagles?
Well, you got to remember, if the Bears didn't beat the Vikings that last game of the regular season, they weren't even in the playoffs. Exactly. I like the under 9.5. I just don't think they're a great football team. They've definitely had some luck in the past years, especially with the Bears letting them into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Parkey.
Double doink. Lucky.
Yep. But I don't think that luck carries over this year. I think they miss out in the playoffs.
I'd say the under two because it all depends on how healthy Carson Wentz is. Mm-hmm. They don't have Nick Foles anymore, so they can't.
Who's the backup, right?
Yeah. No one, really.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually, I believe there's question that he might not start game one. He might not start game one, or who knows how far that will last. But in the event that happens, I don't know who their backup quarterback is, but the odds of him winning those football games that he's got to come into are very low. So I have him going 9-7. Their division's pretty crappy. Cowboys are getting better, but the Redskins are mediocre, and the Giants are obviously like one of the worst teams in football right now. All three of us actually are going under on the Eagles. Now, probably the most interesting team who has risen extremely right here on this list is the Cleveland Browns, who have acquired OBJ and all of these guys, and now people want to talk about them. Win total right here is at 9. Are you sold on the Browns here? Over, under 9?
I'm not sold yet. It wouldn't surprise me if they win 10, 11 games, make the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't surprise me, but okay. I also wouldn't be surprised if they win, 7 or 8 games.
Yeah.
I just don't think they've really proven themselves yet. I think people are getting a little bit too excited. It's still super early. So I wouldn't go out and say they're making the playoffs just yet.
I don't know if it's their year this year. I think maybe in the next couple seasons the team develops, Baker Mayfield develops, then I think they could be at a 9 team.
I think I'm just not sold on them yet. People are just obviously saying all these things about them because they got the superstar powers, but really, if you look at the defensive side of the ball, I don't think it's a playoff caliber defense over there in Cleveland. You have Myles Garrett, you have Demarius Randall and Denzel Ward. They traded Jabril Peppers earlier this year, but to me, that defense isn't ready to be in the playoffs yet. I think their offense is ready, but again, they may look ready on paper, but whether they will be ready on the field is a question. So, not throwing OBJ in there isn't just going to make you a playoff team. Were the Giants a playoff team the past 3 years? No. They were 2 years, 2017, I believe, or 2016, but not the past 2 years. So I don't know exactly what to expect, but I'm going to go under here. I think they go 8-8, and then maybe the future outlook for them is looking good. And then the last team that I want to talk about, because I think it's absolutely utterly ridiculous that they're here at number 9, or at 9 win total, is the Green Bay Packers. Don't ask me why they're there. I know they added pieces on defense, but this team is actually terrible. They're not a very good team at all. And then you come in with Matt LaFleur. Who the hell is this guy? He runs a Titans offense that's one of the worst in the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers is, there's all this controversy about him not meshing well with his players and not with his coaches. And, there's controversy in the locker room. And then they get Adrian Amos. Not really an impact. And then they get the two old guys from the Ravens. But again, they have no running back. They have Devontae Adams. That's it on offense. They really have nothing else. And the rest of the defense isn't that good. They were a 6-win team last year. Why are they at number 9? What do you think?
Well, I think this is the Bears division to win.
Yep.
I see the Packers schedule. They play obviously at the Bears week 1. They have the Eagles at home. They go at the Cowboys, at the Chiefs, at the Chargers. I mean, this is not an easy schedule. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you said. I'm not sold either. I'm not quite sure how the win total's so high, especially with their tough schedule. So we'll see. But this is definitely the Bears division.
Yeah, I don't believe Packers. I'm going under 100%. They're not a good team anymore.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it relies on how they perform in that first game. And that's arguably the biggest game of the year because there's, it's the 100th season in the NFL, the 100th season in the Chicago Bears. It's at Soldier Field. I think the Bears are going to absolutely demolish them.
I agree.
100%.
And, they should have won that game last year, but hey, that game was in Lambeau.
Yep.
The team wasn't really ready yet at that time. Khalil Mack was on limited snaps, and he still had a pick six and a forced fumble and whatever. He had an unbelievable game. I think they come out, they're ready. They're ready to avenge that loss that they had in 2018, and they're ready to come out here and get after it. Yep. So I think that game's going to be huge. Bears going to blow out that one. We're going to move on to some NBA talk now. Obviously, big things going on in the NBA with the draft, or the lottery actually occurring about a week ago. And the games 2 and 3, or game 2 happened last night for Bucks, Raptors, and then Warriors Blazers a few nights ago. So those game 3s are coming up. So we're going to discuss a little bit about that game 2, the game 2 action that we saw these past few nights. So I guess we'll start in Golden State. We're going to go through that game 2 action, then actually have an outlook for game 3. So what did you guys see from game 2? Obviously, it was actually a pretty good game, kind of back and forth a little bit. But in the end, Warriors prevail. They win up 2-0. What did you see from that game, and how do you think that's going to impact the rest of the series?
I don't know if the Trailblazers will come back from this. The Warriors, as long as they have Steph Curry, that team is just going to be as dominant as they've always been. Like, Steph Curry is the cornerstone of that team. They don't even need Durant right now, and they're still dominating.
Yeah. That game was just so frustrating. I mean, they were down, what, 15 at halftime, the Warriors?
The Warriors.
But you're never safe when you're playing that team. And,
especially at home.
In the third quarter.
And I think, you know, they play a faster style of offense without Kevin Durant, which can be an advantage for Curry and Thompson to kind of get them going. Yeah, I agree with Will. As long as Curry's healthy and he's playing well, no one's going to beat him.
And this is a absolutely great scenario for the Warriors, because they're just chilling here. And you can't play it safe in Portland, because obviously those games would be harder to win. But you're obviously looking at Kevin Durant on the sidelines, and you're saying, stay there. You don't need to rush back.
Right.
Let's say they go for a sweep. That gives them X amount of days of rest before the finals. In case that series, for some reason, goes game 7, you're looking at Kevin Durant getting some more time, because apparently, I believe he went to the doctor yesterday. They're saying he is out officially for games 3 and 4. Actually, quote from the ESPN report was he is, quote-unquote, not close at all to returning. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah. But now we're going to go to some game 3 outlook for this series. That's actually, I believe, tonight. I believe 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
Probably,
so a little bit Saturday night basketball. Brian's got the lines and some stats here for us. What do we got for some betting outlook?
So Portland, 2.5-point favorites.
Really?
Tonight.
Yeah. So they are favored.
How
okay.
They
favored?
Are.
I mean,
the home
aspect.
Court advantage.
Yeah,
I think they steal one tonight, either tonight or in game 4. I think they'll take one at home. And listen, I'm not a Warriors fan. Most people aren't Warriors fans and don't like the Warriors. I'm just rooting for this series to get stretched out to maybe 6 games. 7 would be great. I think the Bucks are rolling in the East. And if they get through in 4, 5, or 6 games, they can have some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kind of rush the Warriors into that NBA Finals, that could be worrisome for them.
I think the Bucks are going to sweep the Raptors.
Okay.
Because they're just a much better team than the Raptors are right now. The Raptors are basically just, like, letting Kawhi carry that team. Like, no one else is performing. Pascal is not playing well. Lowry's playing awful. Marcus Gasol isn't playing that well either. Well, but for the Bucks, Giannis is obviously doing amazing. Chris Middleton's doing his thing. Bledsoe. And even Brook Lopez.
The thing, now, you mentioned that now, and you just mentioned all these guys who are not playing well. I think the fact that you bring that up is actually dangerous for Milwaukee. Look at, you know, you're not going to get a bad Kawhi. I mean, you're probably going to get a bad Lowry every game because he's actually trash right now. But you're not going to get a bad Marc Gasol. You're not going to get a bad Pascal Siakam in every game, especially at home. That's why when I made my predictions a week ago, I had the Bucks going up 2-0 at home. But in Toronto, I have the Raptors coming back 2-2. The thing is, if this is DeMar DeRozan's team, done. Over. They're going to get swept.
Well, I don't even think they'd be here.
I don't even think they'd be here. I agree with that, too. But this is Kawhi Leonard's team. There have been comparisons to Kobe for him. People can actually argue that he's more clutch than Kobe in this situation. So I think you cannot count out the Raptors. But going back to this Warriors-Portland series, my pick, I'm going to take the Warriors in this game. I just think it's going to come down to Steph. If he has a bad game, they're going to lose. If he has a good game, they're going to win. But I think Trailblazers will probably steal one, but I actually had the Warriors sweeping this series, so that starts tonight. What is your actual pick for tonight's game, Warriors-Trailblazers?
Yeah, tonight's game I'm actually going to go with Portland. I think it's kind of a trap game.
Okay.
The Warriors is 2.5-point underdogs. I think that's going to pop out to a lot of people, but, you know, I think if Lillard gets going, And they can slow down Curry a little bit. They have a chance to steal one.
I think that's the only problem, though. If they want to win the game, Lillard's going to have to put up 45 or 40-plus. And then McCollum's also going to have to be up there. So what do you think about tonight's game?
I think Portland can steal this one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors won either and go up 3-0, but it's at home. It's in Portland. They're going to play their ass off, and they're gonna win the game,
I think. They're down 2-0. They're playing for their lives right now. If they lose, go down 3-0 against the Warriors.
You're not coming back down 3-0. So. You can come back 3-1, as history shows. So it's a crucial game, obviously. It's a crucial game. I mean, any game is crucial in the playoffs, but this one especially since we're down 2-0. Now, pull up the money line and some of the over-unders that we have for Bucks and Raptors here in Game 3, which I believe tips off on Sunday, probably a midday game if I had to assume. Back in Toronto, Raptors will have home court advantage. I wouldn't be surprised if they are going to be favorited in that game. Yeah, Brian's going to pull it up right now for these.
I think they're three-point favorites, the Raptors.
3 points?
Yeah, so the Raptors, 2.5-point favorites, minus 140 on the money line, so you got to bet 140 to win 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Blazers tonight, minus 2.5. They're minus 125 on the money line.
So you mentioned those things about the Raptors. Now I'll go to your actual prediction, Game 3, which I believe Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Game 3 on Sunday, who you guys taking in this one for Bucks-Raptors?
I'm taking Bucks.
So you're going with a 3-0 lead for the Bucks here.
I'm going to ride with you on the Raptors.
Okay.
I think they bounce back. I just think Kawhi's too good, especially at home. I don't see them losing that game.
And
you also have to factor in that the Bucks are 10-1 in the playoffs right now, and every one of their stars are just playing amazing.
That's true, but will that stay consistent? Who knows? Someone's going to have an off night at some point. You would think, but again, you can't doubt Kawhi. And his ability to take over a game like he has in the past, even in this year's playoffs.
Yeah, but if they want to get anywhere in this series, it can't just be Kawhi. They're a really talented team. They have Pascal, Marcus Saul, Kyle Lowry, Danny Green. Danny Green's not even making any threes, and that's what he's there for.
Who knows? Maybe maybe Kyle Lowry would drop 50 points on us all.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, never. I don't think that's ever going to happen. All right, so those were some Western and Eastern Conference final previews and outlooks. We're going to go now into some draft possibilities. As you know, me and James talked about the lottery a few days ago, but now mock drafts are starting to come out. Who's going to go where? These things are starting to come out. Let's start, I guess. Assuming Zion goes to New Orleans, which we're not going to talk about, let's go to number 2. We assume the Grizzlies would probably go with Ja Morant, correct?
Yeah, I think Ja Morant.
So then number 3, the New York Knicks hold that pick, and now there is a question here. The Knicks have but it seems like they may be interested in trading that pick for an Anthony Davis, which would mean then the New Orleans Pelicans would get R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson, former teammates on the same team in the NBA. What do you think about that possibility of the Knicks trading there at number 3?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Pelicans fan, I'd almost rather have Zion and RJ than Anthony Davis. I think they click together really well at Duke.
And Anthony Davis wants to leave anyway.
Right,
so
he wants out.
Develop a young team.
Nothing good comes from kind of forcing a player to stay there if he doesn't want to be there. You bring in some new, fresh players, rebuild around Zion and RJ, and I think they'd have a really bright future.
Yeah, and that obviously the Knicks, I was looking at, I believe, the Knicks, or not, the betting odds for NBA title of 2020, and the Knicks are at, like, 4th.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just expecting them to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie, and obviously if that happens, rightfully so, they should be up there at number 4, but you can't bet on that, so I don't know why they're so high. If you're betting right now, I really wouldn't put any money on the Knicks.
Whatever
they're at right now. But so at number 4, we've got the Los Angeles Lakers. This mock draft here has them taking DeAndre Hunter. What do you think they do at number 4? Do you think they go for a guy like DeAndre Hunter or maybe a Jarrett Culver? What do you think about there at number 4?
Well, obviously they need shooters. I like DeAndre Hunter a lot. He made some very clutch shots at Virginia in that tournament run. Won a national championship, obviously. He also was on the team. He was injured when they got upset by UMBC. So he's been through a lot. He's been in pressure situations. He's a clutch player, and I think he'd be a great fit with LeBron on the Lakers.
Yeah, I like this pick, too. Like, they need a good forward, and they need a good shooter, stretch forward. And he was very good on Virginia and led them to the national championship, so I think that would be a good pick for them.
Now, you could also raise the question here at number four. Obviously, the Lakers were the prime destination for Anthony Davis. Is this a possible trade pick here at number four for the Lakers as well, in the event that they want to trade that pick for Anthony Davis and some other, you know, Lonzo Ball, whatever would be involved there? Do you think it's a possibility there at four?
I mean, I think it's a possibility, but...
do you think it's likely?
I don't know. I don't think it's likely, but... You know, LeBron's starting to get up there. I don't know if they really have time to start drafting all these young guys. That's a
very good point.
I mean, their window is right now. They need to win now. So it wouldn't surprise me if they went out and got an established NBA veteran.
Because the one thing we know about the NBA, if you're not getting a guy in the top five, and even then, rookies in the NBA don't make an impact year one rarely, especially with playoff teams, where what we think will be a playoff team next year in the Lakers. So it's risky, again, and if you can go out there and get yourself a player who is obviously known and obviously has the history, he's got the evidence of being a great player in Anthony Davis, I think you should do that. At number five, though, we'll move on to there, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't even want to talk about this because I don't give a crap at all. I don't care who they pick. And then number six, I don't really care about Phoenix either. The only unfortunate thing about Phoenix is the fact that they're wasting the talent of Devin Booker right now.
Every year they get a good draft pick and they still suck every
year. They're terrible at drafting. I mean, they've missed on
the last year. And DeAndre Ayton's good and they're still bad as hell.
Yeah, bad as hell. They are. Yeah. And now here, obviously, our team number seven, the Chicago Bulls. This is a really interesting pick if you're a Bulls fan, because this is a team, actually, I'll go out there and say it, they're really not that far from the playoffs. No. If you look at possibly, you know, they have a ton of, not salary cap, but they have a ton of money here in the, there's a salary cap in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
I'm tweaking. I'm tweaking. I was thinking about the MLB for a second. They have a lot of money in the offseason to work with here. Derrick Rose is a guy that we obviously think they're going to go out and get. And who knows? Maybe Kevin Durant says, screw it. I'm going to Chicago. Could you believe that? I'd go crazy. I don't think that's going to happen. No one wants to play for Reinsdorf. It is. It's one of the largest markets in the NBA. But no one wants to play for Reinsdorf or for Gar Pax.
Oh, they're horrible.
You know, but it's terrible. But who knows? There is that possibility.
This is a talented team, though. LaVine, Markkanen, Wendell Carter.
And they won games last year with... Arciadano, whatever that guy's name was. That guy on the floor, and they won games with a bunch of scrubs on
the
floor.
I mean, if they can get a solid pick at number seven, I think they're one big piece away from being a player.
And hey, they've had number seven the past 2 years, and I'd say they've hit on it. Wendell Carter looks to be a pretty good player. We know Lauri Markkanen is a rising star in the league, so hopefully with number seven here, they can get a big-time player. Number eight... I don't really care anymore about this. The Atlanta Hawks. There again, Trae Young for the next few years. Man. Get yourself a free agent. Man. That's about it for the NBA draft. Again, these things will develop. But the thing about the draft in the NBA, again, like I just mentioned, is it's not as prominent because these players don't make an impact right away. So people don't really get that excited over it as they do in the NFL, which is obviously, you know, the biggest draft of them all. But we're going to move on now to one of our favorite sports here, horse racing.
We know
they call the Kentucky Derby the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, but a few weeks ago, it was actually the most exciting 48 minutes in sports because of how long the disqualification took. But now, this week, we've got the Preakness. Who's excited for the Preakness?
I am. I'm taking War of Will because my name is Will, for obvious reasons. Let's get it.
Solid pick.
War of Will, I don't know what he... Seventh in the Kentucky Derby. I think he was part of that little shift controversy thing that happened with Maximum Security, so maybe he was that far down because of the cheating of Maximum Security. But nonetheless, we've got the odds here. I believe these are the live odds. The prick this is happening in about an hour.
Yeah.
So the live odds here are War of Will at 4-1, Bourbon War 12-1, Warriors Charge 12-1, Improbable, who I believe is the favorite, actually. Yeah, at 5-2. Placed fourth in the Kentucky Derby. Owendale is at 10-1. Market King 30-1. Always mining.
Those odds.
Hey, Country House was 65-1.
Yeah.
And won the Kentucky Derby. So I'm not counting anybody out anymore.
Asterix.
Always mining was 8-1. Go down a little bit. We've got Signalman, 30-1. Bodie Express, who's in the Kentucky Derby, plays 13th, 20-1. Everfast, 15-1. Fifth in the Pat Day Mile. I don't know what that is. Some horse race. Laughing Fox. I really like that name. 20-1. Another twist of fate. Another twist.
Another twist of fate.
6-1. They're looking actually pretty good.
And win
was in the Kentucky Derby as well. Placed 9th. So yeah. Brian, you're our betting guy. Who are you putting big money on in the Preakness?
Well, I like improbable, the favorite. Woo! Bob Baffert, the trainer.
Can't get wrong with Bob Baffert.
Can never bet against him. He's a legend. And then a little underdog pick. I like Bodie Express at 20-1 odds. Placed 13th in the Kentucky Derby. I think that's a good value pick there at 20-1.
Well, you're a war of will.
Gotta go war of will.
I'm going with, I mean, if I were to make an actual pick, if I were a crazy person who's actually betting on the Preakness, I'd probably go with Bodie Express because I like the name. I think Express is like a good David Bodie. There you go. A little bit of Bodie baseball
Express.
In there. Yeah, Bodie. I like that. And again, you know, I'm not a big horse racing guy, but from what I saw from the Kentucky Derby, I don't care if you're 50 and 60 or 70. Although in horse racing, the favorite usually comes out with the win. And, you know, but 20-1's not bad. I'll go with Bodie Express. So the Preakness actually happened in an hour. So whoever's listening to this will be able to see if we were right or not. Because when most people will listen to this, the Preakness will be over. So we're going to get into our last topic now. Our guy Will Hopper here loves food, particularly stadium food. He goes to Wrigley. He goes to Soldier Field.
Oh, he's all over the place.
I mean, how many different stadiums have you been to, Will?
In
all sports, MLB, NBA, NFL. Have you been to a lot of stadiums?
I've been to about 4 MLB stadiums.
Oh, okay, 4 MLB. Yeah, I thought you were talking total. Okay. Yeah.
Then I've also been to about. I've been to a lot of college football games.
Okay, that's
fair. I've also
fair.
Been yeah. to. I don't think I've ever been to an NFL game.
No Bears?
Nope, I've never been to a Bears game.
So he doesn't know what stadium food is like in the NFL, but clearly you've been all around the map. You've been to all the stadiums, all these different cuisines that these stadiums offer. So the hard-hitting question that we have to close the show today is, Will Hopper, what is your favorite stadium food of all of these luxury foods and cuisines that you have experienced throughout the years?
My favorite food, it's quite a delicacy. It's a hot dog.
Okay, well, you can't just leave it there. You're a Chicago guy, so obviously the forbidden rule in Chicago is putting ketchup on the hot dog. So I have to ask you now, what goes on top of the hot dog that you order?
I like some onions. I like some mustard.
So a nice little Chicago dog, maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
Relish?
Not really.
Not really.
Just kind of relish.
Okay, that's fair. And now, if you're getting a hot dog and you're sitting there, you say, why the hell not get something else? Maybe a drink, maybe a snack. What
also,
do you like
I
to accompany
like,
the hot dog?
I also like to eat food beforehand because I don't like paying $8 for a tiny hot dog.
Fair, very fair. That's a good idea. I mean, that's usually what I do. But hey, in Atlanta, they sell hot dogs for like $2. They sell craft beers for $3 in Atlanta.
Oh, that's
so. I think we got to make a trip to Mercedes-Benz in the coming years. But that wraps it up for us here with Brian Dezara, Will Hopper. It was a ton of fun, guys.
Yeah, thanks
good,
for having
good
us.
Good to have you on. The episode will be out in a few days. Have a good week, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah.